people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Thank God for all of the songs that he has given. And certainly in the Christmas season, that first Christmas, there was a number of songs. Zacharias was a faithful priest, lighting incense in the temple. Suddenly an angel appeared to him named Gabriel, a message that he had that was indeed spectacular. You and your wife Elizabeth are going to have a son, and you're going to name him John. Fear not, because your prayer is heard, the angel said. You will have joy and gladness. You will rejoice at his birth, and he will make ready a people for the Lord. Zechariah stood there in wonder and listened to all that the angel had to say. And then he began to give reasons why that can't happen instead of rejoicing. He looked at the time that they had gone childless, and he thought, that's not going to happen now. But the angel said, because you didn't believe, you're not going to speak until the child is born. 9 months. That's a long time to go without speaking. But that's what happened. If that was a result of unbelief today, how many of us would be mute until we had the opportunity to prove that we're going to worship God in faith and belief? John was born. The neighbors and the cousins rejoiced. Zacharias wrote the note. He's still not talking. He had to write. He wrote the note, his name is John. And when he did that, in obedience to the word of the Lord, his tongue was loosed, and he praised God. After all of those months of being silent, he lifted up the name of the Lord. And then the song of Zacharias, which tradition has named the Benedictus, he began, the blessing of the Lord God that he offered, and how he would perform the mercy promised, and we serve him without fear, and the child would be called the prophet of the highest. Oh, thank God for the salvation that Zacharias would sing about. And he used the phrase that was so important, the remission of sins. And all of that was to unfold in the wonderful story of Jesus Christ. Jesus said his blood and his name would be for the remission of sin. Zacharias went on in his song, saying, the dayspring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. He really made up for having to write all those notes in those 9 months. And no doubt he sang those verses time and again as he held his precious little baby named John and as he watched him grow up. Mary had a visitation of Gabriel as well. The angel said, fear not, Mary. You're going to bring forth a son and you're going to name him Jesus. Prophecies of the Messiah were cited by the angel. He will be the son of the highest. He'll be on the throne of David. He'll reign over the house of Jacob, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Mary is trying to process all of this. She's just a young teenage girl in the small village of Nazareth. And these prophecies about the Messiah are what she had heard and had her parents recite again and again. And now those prophecies are going to be fulfilled through her. It's no wonder she asked, how? Now, she's highly favored among women, so she wasn't struck speechless like Zacharias. The Lord was with her. Blessed art thou among women, the angel said. And so Gabriel reiterated those promises, repeated them, spoke them again, so that she could process them. Amen. And thank God for all of those promises, all that would be written in the Word of God, and how that the Lord would bring about those fulfillments in those promises. He said, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. The power of the highest will be upon you, and the Son of God will be born of you. And even now, your cousin Elizabeth has been carrying a baby for 5 months or 6 months. And again, all the astonishment on that young girl, Mary's heart. And the angel assured her, with God, nothing shall be impossible. I'm thankful we're serving a God like that today. It's not just a story. It's not just something that we relegate to times past. But we know how powerful our God is to hear and to answer prayer. And so Mary began her song. Magnificat. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit rejoiced in God my Savior. Oh my, if we could have heard it. If we could have been there, if we could have seen the astonishment and wonder upon her face, and as she pours forth her praise to the Lord, He that is mighty hath done to me great things. Mercy on them that fear Him from generation to generation is offered. He filled the hungry with good things. He spoke to our fathers, Abraham, and his seed forever. You see, she's beginning to understand the promises of the Messiah are really going to be fulfilled through her. No doubt there were more songs that she sang to her baby Jesus. Lullabies that she would offer to Him as she tenderly held Him, as you mothers would understand, holding that little baby. And I wish the story didn't contain this part about Herod, hateful Herod, who stole the songs of other mothers. He was the one who wanted to destroy the one that the wise men from the east called the King of the Jews. And he had his soldiers kill all the baby boys 2 years old and under. And the lullabies that they sang to their little boys turned to a loud lament and funeral dirges. Sin is so deceitful. Sin is so destructive. It's so damaging. It's so devastating. And sin being fulfilled in the heart of Herod brought about this death when the Lord Jesus came to give life. Oh, thank the Lord that the prophecies of power and victory, majesty and might about the Messiah have come to pass. Isaiah, with his 66 chapters that he wrote, would include those passages about seeing the Lord high and lifted up. He wrote of God's might and power as the Creator. He wrote He could declare the end from the beginning. That's why we could put our trust in Him. That's why we can believe Him. Because even as we can't see past tomorrow, He sees the end from the very beginning and is able to lead us into the fulfillment of all that He desires to declare. Praise God. The prophecy of the reign that we call millennial, the 1,000 years of peace that are going to come upon the earth, the Lord declaring, I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Oh, I'm looking forward to that fulfillment. I'm looking forward to that time when Isaiah 65 and 19 is going to come to pass, because the Lord will do it. It will happen. Now, Isaiah 53 might have been hard for Isaiah to understand. He's despised and rejected of men. He's writing about the Messiah. He's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He carried our sorrows and he bore our griefs. Wondering, no doubt, as he penned those words, how can this happen to the Messiah? He's mighty. His kingdom shall never end. The increase of it is never going to stop. How is this going to happen? No doubt the difficulty for him to understand would be in evidence of the cross, where the silence was deafening. The singing replaced with sighing and sorrow. Now, Satan had been among the angels that worshiped and sang praises before he fell from heaven. And in his fallen state, I would imagine there were songs that he sang about the suffering and the defeat, or his imagined defeat, of Christ Jesus, and the perverted songs that he would offer as far as his victory would be concerned, and the thwarting of God's plan and the destruction of what the Lord had in mind. But oh, thank God, those songs of Satan were shut down and were shut up when the resurrection took place. Amen. When Jesus came forth, amen, in victory over death, hell, and the grave, those songs were silenced. And I've got to believe every time you win a victory over sin, every time you overcome temptation, there are songs of Satan that are silenced, and the songs of praise and worship for the Lord continue to grow up. Amen. The celebration at Christmas of Jesus coming from Mary's womb is also a celebration at resurrection for Jesus coming out of the tomb. Thank God that we know how powerful he is and how victorious he is and how he's able to share all of that with you and I. And he gives us many reasons to sing. Praise God. Zephaniah 3:17, where the Redeemer rejoices. It's an amazing verse. It's a verse that you need to spend time with time and again throughout the new year. There are, you know, in the Psalms, how there's a Selah, which is a recognition. I need to stop and meditate. I need to stop and look. Zephaniah 3:17 should have Selah after it. It should be one that we stop and recognize how powerful it is. Because this is what it says. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Now the first portion of that verse. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. That is exciting. He will save. That's a thrill, and that's a reality in our lives. But the portion, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. That's what we need to process. That's what we need to understand. Because the Lord rejoices in your salvation. The Lord rejoices when you become his son and his daughter. The New Living Translation says it this way. The Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Thank God for the power of the Lord to do that kind of work in our midst. And we know the blessing of singing. I want to be sure I obey the scripture so that I can hear that song. I want to be sure I step into the waters of salvation so I can hear the Savior sing. Praise God. And the power of the Lord that he reveals. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus rejoiced when his disciples grabbed a hold of spiritual power, and they grabbed a hold of revelation that he wanted to show them. They returned from a mission that he sent them on, rejoicing that even the devils were subject to them by his name. That's a powerful name, Jesus Christ. A wonderful name, a name that we can rejoice in, and they did. Even the devils are subject to us in your name. Jesus directed them to rejoice that their names were written in heaven. And then he rejoiced because of the revelation they were receiving. Praise God. I hope we continue to do for the Lord what causes rejoicing. I hope we're able to see time and again angels rejoice over one that repents. Thank God for the power of the Lord. So singing in heaven, what's that going to be like? Oh, my. Handel's Messiah? Is that what it's going to sound like? Traditional Christmas carols? John heard hallelujah, and it was like the voice of a great multitude. It sounded like many waters. It sounded like mighty thunderings. Oh, my. When all the voices of the angels joined together, the voices that those shepherds heard, the voices that joined with the angels singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. How it must have echoed, how it must have thundered, how it must have sounded. Oh yes, that's what heaven is going to sound like. That's what it's going to be like when we're in his presence forever. Revelation 5 and 9, they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Thank God everyone has the opportunity to come into salvation in the Lord, because Satan is defeated. The church is victorious. Jesus is on the throne. We're redeemed by his blood. We're bought with a price. And thank God we can exalt him and give him praise forever. Amen. The Bible talks about the song of Moses and the Lamb in Revelation 15 and 3, how they were singing it, that he is great and marvelous. His works are wonderful. The Lord God is almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Amen. What an incredible experience that John had as he heard all of the revelation of what was going on in heaven and how the name of Jesus would be lifted up. Great and marvelous, just and true, the Lord God Almighty and King of saints. And just as those three wise men came from the east to worship the one they called King, I hope we are making him the King of our lives, making him the King of our hearts. And I hope we're determined to make sure we're going to enter that heavenly realm so we can hear this singing. And not only hear it, but join in, giving praise to the name above every name. Because every tongue is going to confess. Every knee is going to bow. Everything is going to exalt him. And I want to be sure I'm there. I want you to be sure you're there. No one need miss out, but to be in the presence of God to exalt him and to lift him up. Amen. Would you stand with me now? I want us to sing that old Christmas carol, "O Come, Let Us Adore Him." Amen. Oh, we celebrate that baby in the manger. We worship the one upon the cross. We know the tomb is empty. And we look at all that the Bible says about Jesus Christ. And oh, the reality is, God wants to be in your life. God wants to be in your heart. And thank God, he can become powerful and a reality through salvation that is so great. Not mediocre, not mundane, not man-made. But so great salvation that you will be in awe. You will stand in wonder. You will recognize how amazing the work of God is. Just as those shepherds, those wise men, all stood in awe and wonder at that first Christmas. Thank God we can know his power today. Oh, come, let us adore him.
Oh, come, let us
adore him.
Oh, come,
let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. For just a moment here today, let's put our focus entirely upon the one whose name is above every name. Let's forget about all the other responsibilities, all the other situations that we've got to deal with, and everything that's going to happen. The food smells good downstairs. We're heading that way in just a few minutes, but put it off for right now, and let's adore him. Let's worship him. Let's exalt him. Better yet, Come to the front, if you would, please. Come and stand in the front. Crowd right in. Because figuratively, we're saying, Lord, I'm coming to you. Lord, I'm focusing on you. Lord, you're my everything. And I want to adore you. I want to worship you. I want to praise you. I want to serve you. Praise God. Come and crowd right in. That's good. And let's love and worship him. Let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Give that praise to him now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you. Lord, you've done such wonderful works. Lord, you are powerful, you're majestic, you're awesome, you're amazing. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you've done. Thank you for the salvation that you've brought. Thank you for the touch in our hearts and our lives that your presence has made. Now, Lord, continue to make those changes. Continue to give those blessings. Continue to lead us and guide us in your ways. Help us to follow after you. Help us, Lord, to indeed make you king in our lives and in our hearts and in every area and in everything. Your touch and your presence will make a difference as you desire. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Be with us now, Lord. Bless our fellowship. Bless our food. Keep us for your glory, Lord. And we'll adore you and give you the glory. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name, praise God. Let the touch of the Lord be in your life this Christmas season, because he definitely wants to make a difference. Even as he made a difference in lives back then, and in his ministry, healed the sick, raised the dead, opened blind eyes, the tremendous miracle that he would do again and again. Thank God he still does that. He still does. He's still wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And thank God we could worship him. Thank you so much for being in church today. We trust the Lord will continue to bless you and help you. And please join us downstairs.